Psalm chapter 119, as we're getting towards the end of this chapter, we continue though in Psalm 119. We're going to be in starting in verse 145, 145, as again we only have just a few more weeks or so in this great chapter. We've been looking at the Word of God and the many blessings of it, the encouragement, the help that we need from day to day. I'm going to read as we begin Psalm 119, beginning in verse 145. It says, "With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love. O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever." In the New Testament, when Paul, if you know the story of Paul, as he would travel around, there were time to times he'd be in prison. And one particular time, in fact, really, I think it's his second time that he was in prison, he was facing what he believed to be the end of his life, facing surely execution at any moment. And he really wrote a letter to a young pastor. He wrote a letter to Timothy, an encouraging letter to him. And in this letter, he shares both his sorrow and his comfort. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he writes this in verses 16 and 17. It says, "At my first defense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that I might fully preach the word and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth." Hey, you know what he's saying? He's saying, everybody deserted me, but not the Lord. He's saying, he stood with me. He strengthened me. He kept his promise that he would never leave me nor forsake me. Hey, you know, our stanza here in Psalm 119, it kind of reminds me of Paul sitting there going, everybody's abandoned me, I'm all alone, but God was always there. God never left me. And so it's a psalm of hope, a psalm of or a stanza of encouragement or confidence that the Lord is near, that the Lord will always be there. And so he calls on God in this for help, for strength. It reminds of Psalm 46, verse 1, where it says, God is our refuge and strength, as we would know it, an ever-present help in trouble. God, you can count on him. I want us to see just three things tonight. The first one we see in the psalm is that there is confident prayers according to God's word. In fact, in verses 145 through 149, we're going to see, I think it's five parts to this prayer, or five ways, or five things about his prayer to God. As often has been his habit, we see throughout this psalm, he keeps constantly praying to God and going to him in these times of need, in these times of struggle. I tend to think of this psalm not as him sitting down in one sitting and writing all these, but he's constantly coming back as things are progressing and things are changing. And we certainly see here tonight where things perhaps have gotten a little worse for him, and so he's relying on God even more. And so let's look at how he looks to God for his promises and his presence to preserve him, to help him through all of this. So the first thing we see is in verse 145, and when it says, "With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes." The first thing about his prayer is that he's calling on God with his whole heart, meaning with his whole being. It's who he is. He's passionate about his prayer life. God, this is so important. It means a lot to him that he fervently is praying when he says, I do this with my whole heart or all of me, of who I am. And as he's calling out, notice what it says about it. With my whole heart, with everything I am, he's saying, I cry Answer me, O Lord. He's calling out. There's this deep sincerity where he's really, hey, God, with all that I am, with every fiber of my being, I need to hear you. I need to know that you're speaking. I need to have this genuinely in my life. And notice how genuine he is with his prayer. When he say, I do this with my whole heart, answer me, he adds on, I keep your statutes. You ever had a prayer like that? Where things are hard and you're going, God, I'm trying. I'm trying hard. I'm trying to obey. I'm trying not to be anxious. I'm trying to do right. I kind of see that here. He's sitting there going, hey, God, I'm crying. I'm doing everything I can to not sin. I am trying hard here, but Lord, I need you. It's an earnest prayer. And James Boyce, he wrote, he said, prayer should be deeply earnest. The psalmist's prayers were, and it is this that drove him to God's word. You see, a passion for prayer and a passion for the word should always go together. It's often why, perhaps many, when you spend time and your personal time in God's word, your devotion, your quiet time with God, I think for most of us, it's paired with prayer. We're hearing from God and then we're speaking to God. They go together. They should be inseparable. And so the first thing we see from the psalmist, as he's having this confident prayer, he's calling on the Lord with his whole heart, with everything. And secondly, in verse 146, there's a call on the Lord for deliverance. He says, I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. The cry for answered prayer that he asked in the first verse, 145, he's now following this up with saying, God, the answered prayer that I'm seeking is deliverance. As we've seen throughout here, he has enemies. They've been surrounding him. They've been attacking him. And now he's calling out, God, save me. And I will continue. I will keep your decrees. I will keep following you. I will keep observing your testimonies. Even 146, it's adding on to what he had said in 145 when he's saying, I'm going to keep your statutes. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do everything that you said, but I need you to save me. William Van Gemeren, in his commentary on this, he really puts these two verses together, and he says, the psalmist feverishly presents his lament before the Lord so that God may answer him by delivering him from adversity. You see, his request is not without merit. He's saying, God, I do obey your statutes. I intend to keep obeying what you have told me. It's really the idea. Yeah, you remember that little kid song? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. You guys know that. Some of you do. All right, we don't need to hear me singing that. It's really it. Trust and obey. Pray and obey. There's a confidence here. He's saying, God, I'm trusting you. I'm obeying, but I'm coming to you. I'm praying. I need your help through this. So there's a complete reliance on God while he seeks to do what is right. And so we see not only does his prayer come with his whole heart, his prayer is of deliverance. I like what we see in these next two verses. We see that he's calling on on God early in the morning. Look what it says. It says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of night that I may meditate on your promises. As we see here, this isn't so much me saying, hey, see, you should be praying at morning and night. But we see the importance of here of prayer, the passion of prayer, if you would. Verse 145 was more of a passion. Here is more of a pattern. He's saying, here's what I normally do. Here's what I do. I spend time in the morning. I spend time in the evening. He says, I rise before dawn. And then in 148, he's saying, I awake through each watch of the night. He's praying constantly. His thoughts are constantly on prayer. He's saying, here's what my normal routine is in the morning and at night. The first thing and the last thing I do each day is to cry out in prayer. And why is that? Well, we're going to get there in a little bit. But I believe one is because he wants to do right. He wants to follow God and continue to do right. But in this particular instance, if you look ahead to verse 150, he says they draw near They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. You see, he's in a troubled time. And so he's saying, God, I'm praying. I'm praying often. I'm praying every day. I'm praying in the morning. I'm praying in the evening because evil men are out to get me. But there's also hope there. And you see in 147, not only is it saying that he rises before dawn, he says, I hope in your words. And then in verse 148, and I meditate on your promises. What he's doing is, as he's praying, it's really recalling scripture. And he's putting it in the words, and he's remembering the promises in God's word. Years ago, that's something I've learned, and I'm not saying I'm there. I'm saying it's something that I have to constantly remind myself, is how wonderful it is to pray scripture. Pray things you know in there. I love to say, you know, when the times we need wisdom, one of my favorite things is, God, you say that you give wisdom liberally to any who ask. Or God, you say that you desire all men to be saved. I see that in your word. It's a fun thing to do when you can say, God, I'm just saying what you told me. Praying scripture, or even just praising through it. There's really nothing more we need to say here, but that's what he's doing. He's calling out in prayer, and that is his normal habit. Fourth thing about his prayer, in verse 149, he makes this prayer knowing that God loves him. And you see what it says there in 149? Hear my voice according to your steadfast love, O Lord, according to your justice, give me life. The psalmist, as he's praying and he's going to obey, and as he's meditating God's word, he does this all with confidence, saying, God, I know you love me. God, I know who you are. I know that you hear my voice. I know that you're listening to me. You know, when somebody loves you, they're going to listen. And they're going to pay attention. I remember when Krista and I, we weren't even dating yet, and I had really liked her. Now, Krista didn't know this at the time. I would be sitting in the cafeteria, and you could see out the window, and Krista would walk by. Nobody else would notice at the table, and there I'd be, all of a sudden they would know that Krista was coming because they'd hear the song. I start going, there she goes. All right, I start seeing that because I noticed. The psalmist, he's praying, God, as I'm praying to you, I know you're going to hear my voice because I know you love me. I know you pay attention to me. I know you listen to me. As he's praying to God, it's audible, it's out loud, but there's confidence there because he's saying, God, I know how much you love me. I know that I belong to you. I can come to you anytime. I can come to you any place. And I know that you will hear me. Just as that child knows that if he calls out Father, Father's going to come running. When they call out Mom, you know how many times in a store a kid yells out Mom? How many moms quickly turn their head? They'll run to their kids. There's no doubt here. And that's what he's saying. God, I know that you're steadfast in your love. But he also has this, Lord, according to your justice, give me life. He knows the fifth thing that we see in this verse from 149. Hey, call on the Lord because he is just and he gives life. God, I know that you are going to do what's right. When this is a dire situation, when there is great difficulty, when evil and persecutions are closing in, they mean bad, they mean evil, they mean to do wrong. He says, God, I know that you will always do what is right. He trusts that God can and will deliver him. And he's praying, God, give me life because of your justice. It's just an amazing cry. And he's cried it out many times as he keeps saying in these verses in 145, in 145, he says, O Lord, or O Yahweh. He says it again here in 149, O Lord. And he's going to say it again in 159, O Lord, he just keeps calling out to God, crying to him. So we see this prayer. You can always go to God in prayer. You can have confidence in going to him in prayer according to his word, knowing that he's there, that he won't fail you, that he won't leave you. And you can pray confidence in his word that he's going to do what's right and that God loves you. The next thing we see, though, in verse 150, as there is this confidence in prayer, there's also a call for help. We've already touched on this, but 150 really hits it again. He says, they draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. The psalmist, he cried for help already in verse 147, and he asked God for preservation of his life in verse 149, but now he's given the specific reason. And now he's given, this is why I am calling out for help. And this is the same oppressors, I believe, we read about in other verses in 121, 122, 134. In verse 139, he called them foes. And now he's describing them a different way. Not oppressor, not foe. Here he says, they draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are coming at me. And you know what we see here? The first thing is in this verse is that evil people will pursue and try to take us down. That is still true today. That those who are against God will try to bring down good Christian people. Try to trip you up. Another way to describe what the psalmist is saying of these evil men, he's saying, they are out to get me. They are out to get me. The enemies of the psalmist, they've appeared many times, and he's now saying they're close, they're closing in, it's evil intent, they're relentless, they're determined, they're not going to stop, they're not going to give up on this. You know, this is a real life scenario that it's not just unique to the psalmist. This happens throughout Scripture and throughout Christianity. It even happened to Jesus. You know, we shouldn't be surprised when we face such experiences. And not only did the evil people, they are pursuing and try to take him down, they care nothing for the law of God. It tells us that in 150, that they are far from your law. They don't even care. He says they pursue evil plans, but it's so far that they don't care for anything of God. In other words, they hate me because they hate God and his word. These things go together. You remember what I'm going to read from John 15. It's a lengthy few verses, 18 through 25. And the context really of this, Jesus is speaking here, and it's a context, or it's a passage that's worth us knowing. In John 15, 18 through 25, it says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. You catch that? And Jesus, when he was talking about them hating him, and he's saying, guess what? They're going to hate you too. They hated me for no reason. You know what that means for us? They hate us for no reason. I tell you what, that's a hard one. What have I done? How have I treated you wrong? And I think that's the frustrating thing many times when I hear things. You know, I read articles, I'm sure many of you do. I was reading one the other day of somebody who was saying, you know, it's Christians' fault. And I'm sitting there going, what did we do? Evil people care nothing for the law of God. But the psalmist, he ends with a promise, a confidence. He holds on to, he clasps on to the promise that God is near. Our final point, clasp the promise that God is near. Look at 151 and 152. As in 150, the evil, the ones who are far from God, the ones who mean wrong and are opposed to God, they're drawing close. They are getting near, but you see what it says in verse 151? But you are near. He recognizes that God is already there. God is already close. He says, but you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. It's really this wonderful assurance here, this promise. God is right there. God is with me. You know, in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, we get a wonderful picture of heaven, what eternity is going to be like. In Revelation 21:3, we even see there's this thunder that goes forth from the throne of heaven, and God declares, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And you see, there is a reality that we will be with God one day. We will physically be there. It is a present hope. It is a reality. And Romans 8:38 and 39 also says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Consistent truth throughout Scripture, and the psalmist is saying the same thing here. He says in verse 151, the Lord is always with us. God is always there. These persecutors have evil intentions. They've come near to him. And if he's not careful, you can be blinded and forget that God is right there with you. And he's saying in this bold declaration, God, you're near. God, you are right here. He is with them. He is there. He's ever present. As he is going through these difficulties, he's not going through them alone because God is right there with them. Even as close as the enemies get, and they may persecute, they may inflict evil on us, but don't distress. Don't grow faint-hearted because God is right there with you. What does it say in 1 John 4:4? The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. He's greater. He also said, here comes the rain. Heard there's going to be hail tonight. I sure hope not. He also says in verse 151 that God's word is true. Notice it says they all your commandments are true. How do you know that God is with you? Because you can trust the word of God. Because you know it's true. If it wasn't true, it wouldn't be in there. He says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know that because God always keeps his word, the psalmist, he declares, I know that all your commands are true. All your words are true. Spurgeon put it this way. He said, God neither commands a lie nor lies in a command. If all God's commands are true, then the true man will be glad to keep near to them, and therein he will find the true God near him. God is near and God is true. Therefore, his people are safe. Because we know that God is true, we know that we can trust his commandments and that they're the right thing to do. And then he adds this, and this one is as if this wasn't enough. We get one more in verse 152. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. God's word will never perish. God's word lasts forever. It means you can still trust that what you have today is the word of God. And you say, man, we don't have the original Greeks anymore, the original manuscripts, but you can know that we still have God's word. It is faithful and true. The testimony of God, they may be old, they may have been founded a long time ago, But they are not obsolete. They are still trustworthy. They are still true. They're still the assurance that God is with us. Everything we get in this is just as true as when it was written. And what a wonderful, wonderful encouragement it is to us that you can trust this each and every day. As we finish this evening, there was a song written many years ago. I say many years ago. It's really not that old. It was after I graduated high school. But it was several years back in 2005. It just sounds a long time ago. You know, it was a beautiful compliment to this. The song is called Cry Out to Jesus, and the words go like this. To all of the people with burdens and pains keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Another verse says, when you're lonely and it feels like the whole world is falling on you, you just reach out, you just cry out to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. And to the widow who suffers from being alone, wiping the tears from her eyes, and for the children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. Again, there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. The psalmist says, God, you are always there. I can always pray. I can always call out to you because I know in your word that this is true. We have a wonderful confidence. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter where you are, God is right there with you. Man, I don't know, but there's some difficult and dark days. What an encouragement that is. Would you pray with me? Lord, this evening, I thank you for these wonderful words. Words that we can rely on, Lord. Knowing that just as true as the Bible is and the encouragement of it, it also tells us that you are with us each and every step of the way. Lord, I remember dark days. I remember when we so desperately wanted a child and we lost a child. Several children we have lost, Lord, but you were always right there. Lord, as I've been with many family, friends, and others who have passed away from cancer or other health issues, God, your encouragement, your peace, the hope found in you, you are always there. Lord, in days where we don't know the next step, when we wonder how are we going to feed our families, how are we going to survive the week, Lord, we just thank you for your ever-present word, the hope and encouragement of it, but even more so, Lord, knowing that nothing has surprised you and you are right there with us. Thank you, Lord. What an encouragement this is to me, and I'm certain that to many others as well. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We're going to spend some time now.